for his never-ending love. If you know the depths God has gone for you, your mind cannot comprehend God's love. Just appreciate God for his love. Even before you were aware of life, he had known you, he had loved you. He had loved you recklessly. He had loved you without demanding that you love him back. He had just loved because God is love. Thank you for your love, Father. We are nothing without your love. We don't deserve it. We never earned it. Nothing we can do will earn it. But Father, you loved us and you still love us and you love us to eternity. Indeed, there's no wall you can't break down. Indeed, there's no shadow in my life that you can't light up, Lord. Oh, thank you for your Lord Jesus. Let's sing it one more time.
Holy, overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Though he chases me down,
Hallelujah. TRI, God bless you. TRI, God bless you. Let's appreciate our choir, TRI. You can have your seats. Good evening, everybody. Before I start, can you help me appreciate Pastor K and Pastor M for the opportunity, for the privilege? It's not every church you go to that people are actually given the opportunity to be a blessing, to stage and be a blessing. So we have very unique parents in the house. We have unique parents. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we ready for the word tonight? I'm not ready. Hallelujah. So I've titled what I've come to gist about, But first, B-U-T first. Normally, when you hear but first, it usually comes after an action statement. So, for instance, let me give an example. Okay, so we need to go to church. Oh, but first, turn off the gen. You understand? You understand what but first means now? Or you're going to bed for the night. For those of us that don't have 24-hour lights, if there's anybody that has 24-hour lights here, please let me know. I need to move to your vicinity. But for those of us that have 24-hour lights, when you're going to bed and the gen has run its course, you say, want to sleep, but what? First, turn off the gen, right? Praise God. Now, I'm going to talk about but first. And it basically has to do with how we put God first in our lives. What does it even mean to put God first? Because a lot of times, you say, put God first, God first, God over all. We see all those things. But what does it really mean to you? Is it just a biblical thing in the Bible? God say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and blah blah blah. Is it just something that is in the scripture? Is it something that is applicable in our life? Is it something that is real and tangible in our lives? I pray that by the end of the evening, we shall leave here with just a little more knowledge about this in Jesus' name. Praise God. Projector, help me with Matthew 6:33. The popular scripture, we all know it. So, I'll read. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, in the verses before this, Matthew had written about was about how the birds of the air don't need to think about what they will eat, you know, but God provides for them. Basically saying God provides. God makes a way. God is involved in your life. But he now comes here and says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. So the real question is, how do we seek first God's kingdom? What does it even mean to seek first God's kingdom? Is it by being a worker in church? Is it by, honoring pastors or your leaders in church? Is it by listening and praying every day? What exactly does it mean? Because the truth is, this scripture is a dream for everybody. Because it just tell me that, oh, so it means that if I just seek first the kingdom of God, I don't need to bother about my promotion at work. I don't need to bother about the food I will eat tonight. I don't need to bother about the admission in school. I don't need to bother about my business profits. I don't need to bother about looking for a wife or looking for a husband. I don't need to bother, because what? All these things will be added to me. That right? So, how do we seek God? And the real question is, if you are looking for something, if you are seeking something, that thing becomes the object of your attention. For anybody that has looked, so for instance, I personally hate looking for my things. You know, once I'm looking for something, maybe I need something, I need at that particular point, every other thing becomes secondary. Every other thing is not as important as finding that thing at that time. I don't know if I have some people who are like that here. So not anybody can tell you that will just make sense that period. You understand? You are looking for that thing. You search diligently. You find it scattered everywhere. You have scattered everywhere. And when you find it, there's a joy. There's a sigh. There's a relief that you feel. So when you're seeking God's kingdom, we need to have that same tunnel vision of putting God first. Now, God is not saying, do not live your life. God is not saying, do not go to work. God is not saying, do not live your life. Do not do anything you need to do. Do not go and prosper. Do not go and get a job. God is not saying any of that. He just said, put me first. Hallelujah. So, how much priority do we give to God? Is it the first person we seek in the morning? Is he the last person we take at night? Is he the one that gingers up every morning? Well, I mean, when you wake up, you're like, oh God, how can I please you? How do you personally seek God first? Because it's one thing to know this scripture. It's one thing to quote it, sing it, play with it, whatever, do everything with it. But how are you even applying it in your life? Praise God. Now, projector, help me in Revelation 3:16. God, in the Bible, from one thing I've noticed about God is that he doesn't like, if you are here, be here. If you are there, be there. But when you're in the middle, there's a problem. Like this scripture says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will amplify version, please. So that's it. Anyway, well, let me have amplified version. Just give me amplified for everything you're bringing up. So because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless. Chai. May they not describe anybody like this. And neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, rejecting you with disgust. Don't worry, disgust me. Like, it's not just rejection. It's like, you know when something is disgusting, you're having goose pimples. You know that God like, hey, what's going on? Get out. Now, I've wondered, like, okay, so, but if I'm lukewarm, it means that sometimes that they try now. It means that if I'm in the middle, it means sometimes I'm hot. I can be hot sometimes. And maybe once in a while, they are now relax again. Then I'll now come again. You understand? Is it not good? Like, I'm still doing something. And again, just being cold. So, again, I'm just being here. I'm just here. And I'm not doing anything. So, God is saying that the person that is even trying, like, the person that is even still struggling, that will do the wasting, they will not, that one is worse. Disgust. If you are seeking God, if you are going to put God first, then you need to put God. There's no, God wants to know. That was in Revelations. God talked about the sheep and the goat. He didn't say the cow. Or he didn't say in between sheep and goats, lamb. Sheep and goats. Pick, there's no fence. So it's either you're in or you're out. Praise God. So in seeking God, it's either you're seeking God or you're not seeking God. There's no break in seeking God. Because there's no break in God's love for you. There's no break in how much God gives or how much God thinks about you. There's no break. So we need to consistently be in the face of God. We need to consistently seek God. Now, by doing this, I'm not saying, be a living, moving, walking prayer chain. You know when one person becomes a chain, that you pray from 6 to 7, 7 o'clock, you pass a button to yourself, you continue, and you continue praying. I was praying. When you reach 8 o'clock, I'm done. No, thank you, sir. You continue, you'll be going, no. But what is in your heart? How do you seek God? And if there's one thing I've learned about seeking God or doing God's work, is the fact that whenever you set your heart to do something, whenever you set your heart to do it, because it's not always convenient, it's not always easy, it's not always cheap. Because everybody feels that, but God is the omni everything. God is the omni dollar, omni pounds, omni naira. God should be the one giving me money now. That's right. I mean, for those of us that have, if you have one rich uncle or one rich auntie or one rich brother, like, you know that where your money and his own money, they can't be in the same room. They're not mates. You would naturally expect that, naturally, this is natural, I don't know if it's a Nigerian thing, but but you naturally expect that he's the one that would, or that person is the one that would consistently bless you. Anything for the boys? How weekend? In our lights. If you didn't get it, you don't drive in Lagos. Praise God. But you need to be in the place where you consistently give. You consistently be in the position of giving that attention to God, of seeking God's face. Now, growing up, I actually always enjoyed reading the Bible, stories in the Bible, more than the lessons from the stories. I mean, for anybody that's an avid reader here, you know that the Bible is really interesting to read. Some parts, or some, I said not Revelations, and some parts that will not freak you out. And in Genesis, when Cain and Abel gave an offering, projector, help me with the scripture. That's Genesis 4. When Cain and Abel gave an offering, and God said, the offering of Abel was accepted. Cain's own wasn't accepted. Have you asked yourself why Cain was angry? Was he angry because he was jealous of the fact that God accepted Abel's offering and didn't accept his own? So let's read it. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Next. But Abel brought an offering of the finest. They described Abel's offering, but that's not the point. Of the finest firstborn of his flock. See that word first, right? And the fat portions. And the Lord had respect for Abel and his offerings. Verse 5. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect. So Cain became extremely angry, indignant, and he looked annoyed and hostile. Now, those days when we were in secondary school, that you know, you're in class and just comes and says, someone should write names of noisemakers. Then everybody now be quiet. Then, you know, that there's still always this food that they didn't care. They're not making noise. As we die here, we talk. I mean, write the name. Then there's this other that, you know, like you have tried to be quiet. You've been quiet. Like, maybe timeline is like 1 hour. 30 minutes. You haven't said, ping, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 minutes, 55 minutes. Then somebody will just, you just say one thing to one person like, no, sorry. You see the guy with glasses, don't look at it like this. And you even know, because you have a concern, then when teacher now come, names of noisemakers, John, the guy is usual, he just come, hey, what's happened? Because he came, quack, hey, anybody, but, you know, Peter, hey, area, you know, Mark, for that one thing I said, so it will pain you, you understand? As in, the king will pain you first, but the bigger pain is like, I didn't do anything. I just said no. I just said one word. How will I enter this in? The worst one is when you didn't even say anything, and when they thought you said. No, that's even the worst. And after this, you're not gonna meet the guy like, why did people not say anything? I said, no, but you say, oh, but you were talking to this guy. And I said, no, it wasn't me. And I said, oh, it was the guy behind you. Sorry. I like, can I transfer this cane back and this whip to your body? Praise God. So, where you didn't do anything, where you feel like you haven't done anything, then you'll be angry. Has it occurred to you that Cain didn't know he had done something here? Because if Cain was the noisemaker, and they called his name of noisemaker, times 10, and they called his name, and you know, so if God had come and said, oh, Abel, your offering is tight. Take my respect. Cain, you didn't try. Cain would say, I know I didn't try, Sha. You understand? And you move on. And the story would have been very different. I wouldn't have had this instance of who Cain killed Abel, God caused Cain. You know, you wouldn't have heard those ones. The story would have ended there. But Cain was angry because he didn't even know that there was a problem with his offering. A lot of us actually do not know that we are not seeking God's kingdom. That's my point. So sometimes you are angry with life. This guy that we started, you know, it's easy to compare yourself with somebody else that we started, we were in the same class, you know. And you started together and you're like, you know, oh, this guy, we're together. Or we started the office together. Why is he shining? Why am I not shining? I'm doing everything he's doing. You know, why don't I feel blessed? Why am I still broke? Why am I still struggling for admission? Why am I? You ask all the whys and you're upset. And you're just pulling a cane right there because you probably don't even know that you're not even seeking the kingdom. Having that knowledge, as in being sure of what and where you are, is key. It's key to obtaining these other things that are going to be added. Are you guys with me? Am I making sense? Thank God. Praise God. It may seem tough to actually make those calls of giving the extra in terms of your time, in terms of your efforts, in terms of your money, in terms of your emotion to the things of God, to doing God's work in God's house. But as long as you're able to kind of prioritize in your mind what's important, it starts from there. It's not necessarily a prayer. I don't think it's something you can pray about. Because if you invest yourself in a relationship with a guy or a lady, you know you're in a relationship. You make the effort to call. So, for instance, if you're not in a relationship, if Ada is in a relationship with John, Ada will expect that John... So, if they were not in a relationship, Ada will not say, John, why haven't you called me this week? But with a relationship comes an expectation. And when those expectations are not met, that's when we have breakups, right? I mean, when... In fact, some breakups, when the... matter too hard. The guy doesn't know how to, he says, irreconcilable differences. That's, it's in the soup. Ogbono is inside, okra is inside, egusi, mix everything. I don't know how to explain the problem we're having. So that's irreconcilable differences. The go, your go, I stay, my stay, and move on. But if you're in a relationship, you actually know you're in a relationship. And beyond that knowing, you make the effort to make that relationship work. So ask yourself, am I really making the effort to making my relationship with God work? Am I really making the effort to seek the kingdom first before any other thing? Is any other thing be taking, is any other thing a, more of a priority than God's kingdom, than doing God's work? Praise God. So, some weeks ago, we had the workers' appreciation service here in church, and you know, PKK was, he was talking about how it's good to be working the vineyard, blah blah blah, this that, you know, yeah. How do you? So it's like, how do you work for God and not represent God, or how do you work for God, or how do you seek Him and be with Him without doing His work? That's the real, that's what baffles me. You know, PK has said it here several times that your salvation is what will take you to heaven. But your works is what determines how you live in heaven. Don't take that statement for granted. Because sometimes it's unfair that, you know, there's one guy that has been a, since then born you till you were old. The guy has been a bad guy. He has been a bad guy. He has been running things, has been doing things, smoking, drinking, shooting, killing, everything he could possibly do. He has done those things consistently. He had a good relationship with those things. He sought those things every day of his life. He has done those things consistently for 70 years. He's on his deathbed. And you know. And you know this guy. Then God will now say, my daughter, go and pray for this guy. And you will now go and say, this guy, I've been praying for him since. He didn't go. Mr. A, how far are you? Ah, Pele, you're dying. Ah, sorry. But I told you now, that stop those drugs. It's not helping your life. I want to pray for you. Shall I say, ah, please pray for me. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Is it fair? Let's be human. Don't be spiritual about this thing. So it means that this guy, he has flexed. he has, no, the things that you just saw that you just like, I wish. But for God, the guy has done anything you can possibly think of. The good, the bad, the ugly, he has done everything. Then, the guy, as he's dying, he's giving life to Christ. So as they are going to heaven, maybe, and he's got a wish, hi, bro, Safa, welcome. Is it fair? However, the word makes us understand that even in heaven, there are levels. I don't want to go into that. PK has talked about that several times. But there are levels, there are ways that you would live compared, different from others. Everybody will not be on the same page. We all know the story of the talents, right? Matthew 25. Where in the story, the master came, gave his servant 5 talents, gave another servant 3 talents, maybe 2 talents, gave another talent 1 talent. And when he came back, DJ, pull the scripture up. And when he came back, the guy with 5 talents said, oh, master, these 5 talents you gave me, I have invested it and I have brought 5 more. Same with the other guy. And the last guy came and said, I know you're a hard man, blah, 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 blah. I buried it. Now, if you look at the reward, next verse. Now, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now, I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. There's a reward system. Now, somehow, when I was reading this scripture recently, I kind of interpreted it in a different way. Like, the reward not exactly being on earth. Now, if you look at the guy who had one talent, let's see his response. I think that's 24 or so. The guy with one talent. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate." This sounds like God, by the way. You know, God does and undoes as real. "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth." Does it not look like a burial, like death? Does it not look like actually dying with what God has given you? That's how I mean, it was like a wow moment for me, interpreting it this way. The truth is, everybody has been given something. Everybody has been given a measure of a talent or a skill or something. You didn't come empty. What you now do with what God has given you is what determines the reward. Some of us are good administrators. Some of us can sing to raise the dead. Some of us are good with standing and directing people with a smile, even though they are rude to you. There are so many ways that you can actually serve in God's house. But the question is, are you even using any of those? Like, really, what are you doing with that talent? It may be one. It may just be one talent. But there's a reward for utilizing one talent. Not talk of five, not talk of ten. No, as they say in the movie, with great power comes great responsibility. The truth is, what are you doing with that talent? What are you doing with that thing God has deposited in you? Praise God. I'm actually trying not to go into service because it's an entirely different message. And now I can roll on the ground for that one. Because there are some things that are very hard to comprehend. You can't be in a church. Let's even say, fine, let's even leave church. Everybody comes to church. You can't even be a worker and you are not working as a worker. Like, you are not doing what the team you are in is supposed to be doing. What department you are in is supposed to be doing. You are there to just fill up space. You are there to be lukewarm. You're there to add to the numbers. Jeez, when there's work, you're not there. When there's barbecue hangouts, how much? You're not paid dues from beginning of the year to December. I think it's a department that doesn't experience that thing. Then when there's not hangouts, say, guys, we're having end of year hangouts. It's going to be mad. It's going to be awesome. In fact, everybody just contributes a token fee. Token fee of 1K. You know, will be this, that. You obviously guys that they've not even said PIM on the group. Where's location? Where is it? Where's the account number? Send the account number now. Hello? Papa, ask for account number. Can you send the account? You see, look at it. If you put this kind of vex in the work, you need, in every little thing you are giving, you need to be sold out. You need to put it as the opportunity. Because you know how we started this sermon? Saying that a lot of times we actually don't even know how to put God first. There you go. If you put his work first, you're putting him first. If you put him first in your prayer life, you're putting him first. If you consider him first before making any decision, you're putting him first. You're putting his kingdom first. So don't find yourself in the place where you think you are actually serving, but you are not. There's nothing worse than it. Like, you know, in your mind, like when you go to heaven, they'll give you estates. You know, you become a mini Lucifer. As I walk in, people will be fanning you, "Kabis, you're king of this estate." You'll be, no, you in your that you feel like I have done, and you just go down and say, Ah, welcome. Ah, man, we're so happy that you gave your life to Christ in 1996. It was such an amazing heaven. We're singing and, you know, yes, thank you. Ah, okay. So this is your key. Just when you go there, you turn right. When you turn right, you see one signpost saying, go straight. Don't turn right. When you turn right, there are mansions. Turn left. When you turn left, you'll be going down, walking to down. Then when you get there, turn left again. When you now get there, you see one, there's one hut that is there. This is the key. Take. But when you are done, please, when you settle in, we need you to come help us clean someone's mansion. God forbid. Someone say God forbid. Someone say God forbid. I pray that our works, when passed through the fire, shall stand the test of time. That's our prayer. Praise God. Now, there's another interpretation of this kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the NLT version says that, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. A lot of times we try to accomplish things by ourselves. We try to, and truth is, God has given you wisdom. God has given you intelligence. So it's kind of like an irony. It's like God has given you sense. Let's just break it down. God has given you common sense. So he expects that there's some things that you can just, there's some things you can do without asking anybody. True? Right? When you wake up in the morning, you stand up. You don't need to ask any permission to stand up. You get in your car, you can drive. You can sweat in traffic. You can do that. You can basically do anything you want to do. A lot of things. So this same God that gave you this common sense, that gave you this wisdom, that gave you this skill, is still telling you, work. I know you have this ability because I gave it to you. However, I need to walk in my power. I need to put me first. And whenever we try to do things by our power, there's only so far we can go. There's a funny, very funny story. So while we're growing up, so I was raised by a mom who was a teacher. Not a teacher in some posh private school where they don't beat. She was a teacher in Lagos State. Shout out to all children of teachers. You are strong. Praise God. It's my mother that made me understand that I was not an ajebota. Because if the beating that they have beaten this my body, it's my yellow skin like this. If they had did all the flogging, is not showing now. I'm a Paco. So, growing up, you know, there are some things that were constant. You know, you have family, and in my house were 6 boys and 1 girl. So growing up, some things were constant in the house: crowd, noise, love and joy, and cane. There was always a cane in that house. At least one cane, at most a bunch of canes. And you know the funny thing? I now found out that like in Lagos State School, when they give me a list of things, you know, when I come for a new term, you say, "Oh, bring buckets, bring your textbook, cane." Kane is on the list. So there's kids in my house. So normally I know boys now. When we do come here, one day we just got tired. They said, "Man, we're done. This beating is so much." We just went around the house, packed all the canes in the house, packed everything. We just threw it over the fence. Threw everything over the fence. I pity that the children in the next house. So thinking about it, now so the parents just came out. Thank you, Jesus. But so we threw it. Day one, day two, day three, no, but you know, in a house of boys, you can't go far without trouble happening. Something will happen. So I can't remember who did something. My mom said, "I can't bring the cane." Mommy, I can't find it. What do you mean? Behind my, mommy, it's not there. Check all the, wait, no, we have stashes. We have storehouses for canes. Check all that. Is it? Mommy, it's not there. Nah, call up. I said, "What's going on here?" I said, "What? You can't find the cane." I want to say, "Hey." Said, "Okay, no problem. We can go." I said, "We don't win this one. This is how I fight my battles." The next day, someone say next day. My mother just drove in. Beep, beep, I'm welcome. So normally one person will open the gates now. Say, no, go and call your brothers. What's going on? Mommy's kind of all of us. So thought maybe she bought things. So us come and clear. He just came. He just said, what if all of us assemble? Now open the boots. Pick your cane. There was thin, fat, short, long, very long. See, different as and just plenty. So there was no like, oh, there was no shortage, there was excess. When we now hold your cane, so this cane, keep the cane. So that when I want to beat you, I say, hey, come with your cane. Be coming with your cane like that. Be coming with your cane. And if you misplace that cane. So we're trying to solve our problems with common sense. However, that battle was lost before we started fighting it. So that's really how a lot of us live. We try to solve problems by ourselves, problems that we have no business solving. Because you don't have the manual to your life. Not just the manual to your life, you don't have the manual to life in general. So what business do you have trying to, just like, I mean, majority of us don't know how to fix our cars. So yeah, the problem, like a serious problem in your car, you say, no, I'll do it now. I'll do it. And you know, you know what will happen. Engine will knock, something will go wrong. So we actually spend time fixing things that we have no business fixing. But God is saying, live by my power. Live by me. Put me first. Because that way, you won't even have to solve. You won't have to solve the problem. Problems will get solved by themselves. Now, let me just add a caveat. It doesn't now mean that every single time that it's a problem not be solved. As I walk in, problem not be solving by itself, going up and... No. Sometimes God might want you to experience those problems to grow you, to develop you, to have a story you can tell somebody. You understand? So, but having God as the one that you're putting your entire trust on to solve your problems, that's what makes the difference. That's what makes you live by God's power. Now, the song TRI sang, Reckless Love, is very special to me because now this one, and funny enough, I had it here to give the story of what happened with that song. Because it was, for me, a clear example of living by God's power. Now, we were having When Women Worship. That was last year. I think it was last year now. And so we're supposed to minister at both on island and mainland centers. Now, during the, like, a week or two, I think it was like a week to the island When Women Worship, during the rehearsals, the all-night rehearsals we had, I attempted one thing, sha, and I landed awkwardly. So I sprained my ankle. Now, it was really bad. Like, I screamed because I have high threshold for pain. I screamed. It was pain. Like, they had to run to look for a 24-hour pharmacy to look for rub and all those things. They rubbed it. Man, it was bad. It was really bad. So, in my mind, like, oh, God, I said, see, this dance, we die here. It's not today. Anyway, it's not like I climbed stage with my power anyway. So this thing. So the next rehearsal, I still came. But I didn't rehearse with them. Mr. Mark, are you sure you can do it? Are you sure? I said, don't worry. By Friday, the pain will go. By Friday, go. I said, God, it's your work I'm doing now. And this thing is going to bless life. This is blessing you with rehearsal. Sometimes we're rehearsing and people just start worshiping. You understand? It was really, we knew that it was an unusual ministration. So, no problem. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now Friday morning, I'm not sure one of the days now. The leg was still bad; it was heavily bandaged and all that. I could not walk straight. I couldn't walk like this genuinely. Now in the morning, it's okay. Let me clean my car. And I was cleaning the car, and there was a piece of metal that was sticking out somehow that I didn't notice. So I don't know where I cleaned the car, and it just sliced into my palm. I still have a scar. Like, you know when you're seeing the inside? It was bad. So blood was just... I felt too like... today. Like, okay, I had to go to the hospital. They had to stitch it. That was the first time I ever experienced stitches. They stitched the hand, put one heavy bandage on it. So I had hand bandage, a leg bandage, and I came home. And I said, my wife said, you're still going to minister. I said, I'm going to Ireland now. What was that? I won't drive. Someone will drive my car. Okay. The car. Mr. Mark, what happened to your hand? What happened to your hand? I said, don't worry. Going. I said, don't worry. It's small. It wasn't small. It was paining me. So, on the way, we got to the island church. We gathered. We prayed. Church, that year, some strange things were happening. All of a sudden, the screen caught fire. I don't know. Those that were in the... Was it last year? The screen, before the when men worship started, the screen, there was fire behind the screen. Like, it wasn't Holy Spirit fire. It was fire. Pastor M just started laughing. He said, turn it off. Everybody, let's start praying. It's okay now. You can say, God, this one is you. Anyhow. And we prayed. We got ready. We changed our costume. I was in a lot of pain. And I don't do drugs. Like, I really don't like drugs. It's not like, my not doing drugs is not really spiritual. It's because I hate drugs. So I just use it to support my spiritual belief. So, God, I trust you. So there was no pain reliever, nothing. So when it was time, as usual, I was the opener. So I was still limping. I was limping at the back, and it was time to, and the role, for those that remember the routine, the administration, it was very physical. Like, I was going to be struggling with like 6 guys and climbing and carrying 2 people up and everything. So I said, God, what's, sir? What's that happened that while before that, we make it look like part of the dance. So everybody will still be fine. And as I was walking forward from, because I walked in from the middle, as I stepped on the stage, and I stepped like this, the pain went. Hold on. Don't worry. Wait first. So we did it. We did registration, everything. I had to carry two ladies. So I carried them. I did everything. We finished. Oh my God, we're slain. So when we came out, and you know, when we finished, I was like, thank God, this pain has gone forever. Hey, everybody, I will give testimony. Like, as we came back, man, can you believe the pain has gone? Israel, thank God. I just sat down like this. it's like the pain just said, sir. Thanks, sir. Sorry, we're on break, we're back. I don't know how to tell all the people, like, this pain has come back. We're like, what's going on? And we still had Sunday. So I said, okay now. But it was really a blessing. It was a blessing for us. So Sunday, God will do it again. I prayed though. Sunday, we should just at the dome here. I was walking. I need to physically do this thing because it was epic. So we do like this. So I was walking, doom, the pain was there, I'll soon get there. Boom. It was still there. At that point, in my mind, I froze. Because I knew what I was about to do, and that wound, you know, carry at all. So I was just thinking, like, God, like, so then the guys, they didn't even see my, the guys that were supposed to be, they didn't even see my, they all expect that miracle has happened again. They all came. So I struggled. When I got to the point I was supposed to carry, I still carried them. I was in the pain I was feeling at that point. And we finished, and the mission was, it was still amazing. It was still such a blessing, both to everybody and to us. Now, I was able to do that because I relied on God, irrespective. I relied on His power. The skill is there, or was there. The ability to dance or whatever was there. But it goes beyond that, because the skill and the ability will not have helped me. It will not have helped me at all. But because of that reliance on God, because every time we climb up stage, the Rock Extreme, you people, I've left you. Anytime Rock Hashim climbs up on stage to minister, there's a prayer. We always end the prayer with God, all of you and none of us. And that's something that has kept us. That's something that's always on my mind. So I said, God, see, even if I die here, I die. After all, like, it's your work I'm doing, Abi. And I knew strongly in my heart that hell was not happy with that administration. So I relied 100% on God's power. For one service, the pain went, or the miracle. The other one, like, God said, let's even test this guy self. So a lot of time we are in that pain. We find ourselves in that pain while testing out your faith, while trusting God, while, I say, God, when you say I should seek you, I'm seeking you first. You said I should do your work, I'm doing your work. Why? You find yourself in that why. Based on my story, that why is that pain. It doesn't change the end of your story. It doesn't change how your story ends. It doesn't change the plan God has for you. Sometimes you go through that pain, irrespective of doing everything the word says you should do, because God is taking you through a process to bring you to an expected what? End. So trust the process. Trust the God of the process. And seek Him. Because irrespective, if I had chosen to use my own wisdom, in my own wisdom, I had no business climbing the stage on either of those days. Absolutely no business. Somebody else would have probably done it. Someone would have probably done it well also. But I knew who I was doing it for. I knew why I was doing it. I knew that I had to put God first, irrespective. So what that tells me is that no matter what I may be going through, I may be going through a good spell, I may be going through a seemingly bad spell, because the truth is, there will be times that you're wondering, but what's going on? Like, why all these expenses just come out of nowhere? What's up with this sickness? It's not an excuse for you to let go of God. It's an excuse for you to actually reinforce your faith, to reinforce this seeking God first thing in your life and walking by God's power. Hallelujah. Before I leave tonight, I need us to understand that God does not expect you to not be rewarded for putting Him first. So there are so many motivations for putting God first. But if you want to think about it carnally, like there's the God will bless spiritual. Let's be real. Sometimes we like reward. Abi, who don't like reward? We like reward. If you do something, if you work, you want to earn salary. God is not an unjust God. God is not a wicked God. God is not a wicked boss. God is not the kind of God that you will serve, you will work, and not get rewarded. So, it may look like a painful part of the process. At the same time, it may also look like a very good part of the process. It may look good. Everything's working well. Irrespective of where you are, always remember, put God first. Have you been blessed? Our hands, and just tell God that, I want to know where you stand in my heart. I want to know where I am in this journey. David said, search my heart and know my ways. If there be any evil way, blah, blah, blah. God wants, tell God that I want to know where, knowing where you are is a start. You won't just start from, you may be seeking God, like I said, you may be seeking God, but you genuinely think you are seeking God, but you are not. So we're going to say, Father Lord, help me locate myself. Help me locate in my list of priorities. Let me know where you stand. Really, genuinely.
and help me prioritize you. Help me put you first in every single thing I do, in every area of my life. In my workplace, in my business, in my education, in my family life, in my work with you. Every single step of the way, help me always put you first. Help me always put you first. Help me always do things in your power and not to rely on the skills and abilities that you have given me. Are you praying tonight? Help us have a heart that earnestly seeks you. Help us have a heart that seeks to do your will, that seeks to walk by your power. Help us have a heart that seeks to live by you. Shede wo sakada yiki ke sakada kus mne ke kiri haraku shabada yi kusudo bode ke ke sakada kunda miyana ke ke seka kashuko suru kus nere kusa haraku shakada kus ina huko suku shahais nekere kusa kada kus seki ke sheke kus. This is a good time to find yourself and redirect your attention to God. It's a good time to reinvite God into your prayer, into your life. It's a good time to let go of that steering wheel and let God take over. Shahara kosoko sahara kos. Yekere ko shara yekko seke gege tabara hash. Father, we say thank you because you are a faithful God. You are the God that loves us recklessly. You are the God that has paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. We have absolutely no reason not to put you first. Lord, tonight help us. Teach us to prioritize you. Help us to discover where you are in our lives and put you where you should be. Give us the grace to walk in your power. Give us the grace to put you first in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's put your hands together for the King of Glory.